This is the prophecy they don't want you to read. The chapter from the Old Testament that reveals the Savior. From the scroll of Isaiah to the cross of Christ. This is Isaiah 53 and the Gospels.
Well, welcome everybody to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas, and that's Mr. David Paxton there on the left-hand side of your screen. And he is joining us from New York City. How's it going up there today, David?
New York, it's pretty good. I think people are finally figuring out who the mayor candidates are good. So here's this. The Democrat Council in Queens said they're going to vote for Sliwa.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, it was a Republican.
Okay. Yeah, I knew
how, That's how bad it is with the Muslim communist, who I don't even know what to call Cuomo, but he got basically he quit, so he didn't get impeached as a governor. Mm-hmm. And the clown that's in there now has got he's the lowest on there. Adams. Got the lowest marks out of all of them. Well, so they know they got no chance in getting it. But everybody loves Sliwa because, you know, he's been here his entire life, and he was, you know, he started the Guardian Angels, and
he's genuine.
He still rides the subway every day.
He is genuine. That's the difference, you know.
Yep.
I'm not a New Yorker, you know, but I'd vote for him simply because he's really who he is. I mean, you know, this communist guy that's running, he's changed his position on everything.
Yeah,
I mean,
whatever you want to hear. do you want to hear? I'll say that. They're figuring that out. I met Sliwa at a 4th of July thing in Corona Park a couple years back. And really nice guy. And he wasn't running for nothing either. He's like, hey, how are you?
Again, he's genuine. All right, David, why don't you go ahead and pray us into the show, and then I'll show everybody what we're going to talk about.
All right, cool. And then we'll talk about sapphire stones in the
like
back.
That. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, they're nice. So, Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for leading us and guiding us in this show today. So there will be planting seeds that will bring in a major harvest for your kingdom. And we ask for wisdom and insight as we preach your word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. As I said, I'm going to show you guys exactly what we are going to talk about today. And in segment one, now we're going to do the week in review, and that's going to be really quick. Then we're going to move on to Isaiah 53. This is the chapter that points directly to Jesus that is in the Old Testament. So if you are of the Jewish faith, this is the show for you, okay? I mean, I actually put this show together specifically for those of you of the Jewish faith who have been cheated, in my opinion, by your own church not presenting you the scripture that is in your Bible, your Torah or your Tanakh, whatever it is. I forget which is which.
It depends on which sect of it's even Judaism you go to. So some of them that actually took that chapter out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they said, like, it's forbidden. They'll actually, what's that word? They'll discommunicate you, you know.
Yeah,
they'll throw you out.
Yeah,
if you actually read that, they will throw you out of their synagogue.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that too. And then here in segment two, we're going to go. He was wounded for our transgressions. This is the cross foretold. And again, we're sticking with Isaiah 53, but we're also bringing in New Testament scripture, in which it is proven that Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament. Then you look at segment three, which is cut off from the land of the living, yet he lives again. So, you know, it's pretty easy to figure out we're talking about the resurrection at that point. And then segment four, justified by his blood, and the gospel still stands. And no matter how hard they try, David, they can't kill the gospel. They've been trying ever since Jesus was crucified.
Yeah, I get a kick out of it. Some these people that come along, especially the atheists, and they come into like the creation groups and stuff, and they're like, oh yeah, the Bible's just made up. I was like, dude, don't you think like 2,000 years ago that would have been dismissed if it was made up? They've been trying, but all of a sudden you come along and you're not even 100 years old, but you know everything.
Right. All right, well, let's look at this here. Again, week in review, and I'm going to run through this pretty quick. This week's global landscape reveals the convergence of chaos, deception, and biblical alignment. In Israel, you have the tensions reigniting there in Israel's north. And, you know, they're continuing to fight Hamas, who has a limited number of rockets now. Also, global governance and surveillance. The United Nations has fast-tracked a proposal for global digital ID. Now, this is really some stuff that, you know, if you care about your personal privacy, if you care about being able to live free, you need to take take this into account here, because, you know, once they've got you and digitally done, that means that your money is no longer safe. That means that you're going to have to do what the government says, or you're not going to be able to buy or sell anything exactly the way the Bible says. So anyway, this proposal is already supported by the European Union, by Canada, and by several African nations. And their stated goal, again, is international security and social equity. Evangelical Christians see this as clearly another step toward the beast system that is described in Revelation. Moving on here, you got earthquakes and signs. There's significant seismic activity in Turkey, Mexico, the Philippines. There was a bizarre red glow seen in the night sky over China that nobody could figure out. In Europe, there was powerful solar flares caused GPS outages. So, you know, nature's crying out just exactly the way Romans 8 warned. Then in the United States, we saw three pastors arrested for hate speech after quoting scripture regarding sin. In Canada, a cross was torn down from a public park under a new secularism order. In France, parents protesting explicit school curriculum were fined for incitement of religious extremism. So again, you know, this shows you that things are not too good right now in the world. And that's what's going on. And I did want to also mention very, very quickly, we are aware that President Trump and President Putin met yesterday in Alaska. There's not a whole lot of real information coming out. And until I hear real stuff from someone that's inside that for real, you know, that really knows, not guessing or counting on unconfirmed sources, I'm not going to tell you what I think about it. Because what's the point? We don't really know what happened yet, right, David? Or do you have a different opinion?
No, I mean, the only thing we really know is that he flew that bomber right over when they were walking up the red carpet. That was cool.
Yeah, a bomber and a couple of fighter jets, too.
Like four fighter jets?
Yeah.
Talk about a flex.
Did you see Putin look up when those things were going over? He paid attention. Trump made sure he saw it. You know.
Oh yeah. Yeah. How could you miss it?
American might take a look at it. You know, there it is. So,
just in case you're getting any ideas.
The only thing that I would say that maybe, again, now this would be personal opinion here, but I think if anybody sinks this deal, it's not going to be Putin. It's not going to be Trump. It's going to be Zelensky. You know that. Now that's just my personal opinion. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't think so, but maybe I'm wrong, and maybe he'll agree. But from all indications that I got before the meeting, that, you know, they pretty much had this laid out, that Russia was going to get to keep a certain amount of land that they occupy now, and that they were going to get some kind of assurance, that Zelensky would get some kind of assurance that they couldn't come back in 5 years and do it again. You know, and there would be prisoner exchanges and all that kind of stuff. But it's really all up to Zelensky, as far as I can see. And I think that's kind of what Trump hinted at that, you know, when the meeting was over and both of them appeared. He basically said, you know, okay, well, I'm going to talk to Zelensky and I'm gonna talk to the European nations. And, you know, it's kind of up to them. So, anyway, do you have anything else you want to talk about on that one, or?
Yeah, I think I'm just curious if Zelensky will show up in his pajamas again.
Not at the White House, I bet.
Yeah, but I don't know, because we talk about that in Gog and Magog and all this stuff going on. Mm-hmm. But then the peace agreement is the peace agreement. You know, I'm always of the opinion, and still am, that it would be between Israel. But then I'm open to saying, okay, well, is this a 7-year peace agreement, like which would essentially affect the whole world? But I think more than that is it's creating an atmosphere for various peace agreements, and then there'll be the one main one that's spoken about in Daniel. Because there has to be an atmosphere for that, or else it just wouldn't do it. Well, my buddies are doing a peace agreement, so why don't we do one?
Yeah. You know? Well, you know, I know the Bible says they will speak of peace and safety.
Yep.
And I always interpreted that, at least for many, many years. Again, my personal opinion was that meant that there had to be peace in place. And now I've come off of that stance. I think that it simply means that the world thinks there's going to be peace and safety.
Yeah, it's a promise of peace and safety.
Right. So, you know, we'll just have to wait and see how all that shakes out. All right. Let's go ahead and move on here and introduce Isaiah 53. Now, this is the chapter that points directly to Jesus. And as a matter of fact, I have heard people who have gone to Israel, and they will ask the Jewish population there, what do you think about Isaiah 53? And they will tell you, well, that's the Jesus chapter. But, you know, that's about all they say. You know, they don't really know anything about it. They just know that that's what it was. And some even think that there was another Isaiah that wrote it. You know, now think about that for a minute.
Isaiah,
he writes 52 chapters, then he takes 53 off, and then he picks up again in 54. Okay, maybe somebody else can buy that, but I don't, okay? So anyway.
Well, Jesus himself said it's the same Isaiah. So.
Yeah. So, you know, you look at this prophecy, and you got to remember that it was written 7 centuries before Jesus' birth. This so clearly points to Jesus as the Messiah that it's caused most Jewish rabbis to skip over it entirely, as David was telling you earlier. And clearly, this is because it paints a crystal clear picture of a suffering, rejected, pierced Savior that Jesus fulfilled perfectly. If you look in Isaiah 53:1, it says, "Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Now, this line echoes throughout the New Testament. So you look at John 12:38, quotes it directly as Jesus is rejected by the crowd. And then in Romans 10:16, it reminds us that this was foreseen. Isaiah describes a man despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, and one who carried our grief. Now, these aren't vague ideas. They're direct reflections of Jesus' life. Matthew 8:17 connects Jesus' healing ministry to Isaiah 53:4. And Mark 15:3-5 shows him silent before Pilate, just as Isaiah prophesied. So what was once veiled is now revealed. So what do you think of this, David? I mean, I don't understand why the Jews don't read this for themselves. I know in the Catholic Church, for instance, you can't read the Bible. I know that from having gone through catechism classes. I never became a Catholic, but I went through the classes, and the very first time that I was ever in one, the priest that was giving it said that we couldn't read the Bible. Only he could do that because he was a priest. Now, it made no sense to me. I'd read the Bible for years, but that was a stipulation of the Catholic Church. Is there such a stipulation in the Jewish Church regarding the Bible?
Well, a little caveat there. I was actually in a somewhat evangelical church at one point many moons ago. And the pastor said the same thing. Now, granted, you know, I was a young man at the time.
And
I wasn't new in the word. I knew because right from 15, and this was maybe like at maybe 23, 25. Okay. So I've been in the word a while, and I'm just kind of anal about it. You just listen. I'm going to get in there, and it was every day and every night for those years. So I was well versed at the time. And he said something, you know, from the pulpit, and I was respectful. I waited till everybody left and just stood around. And I said, "Hey, you know, you said this, but you know what it really says is this." And I just pointed out, it's like, there it is. It's in the Bible right mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. And he got mad at me and said the same thing. He says, well, there's nothing at all that you can teach me that I don't know already and that I know better.
Like,
and that was the last time I saw him. I said, okay, well, I guess you don't need me here.
Yeah, exactly.
You have a nice day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just the Catholic Church. It's dispensational worldwide. But specifically, the Jews are, they were given blindness in part until the fullness of the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And God, you know, we're a little too hard on them. God specifically is blinding them from that mm-hmm. for that purpose.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So we just pray that their eyes will be opened, but that means that's the end of the church age when their eyes become open.
Right.
And we talk about Matthew 24 a lot.
Uh-huh.
Matthew 24, people may use that as a rapture verse, but let's examine it. It says, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple. So there they are in the temple, right?
Right.
And the disciples came to him and to show him the building. So the disciples are like, oh, this is cool. Jesus is going to rule from the temple, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said unto them, see not all these things? Verily I should say unto you, that there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down.
Right.
And they're like, wait a minute. I thought you were going to rule in the temple.
Right.
Isn't that why you're here?
Take over? Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So they said, and as he sat upon a Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and said, wait a minute. When are these things going to happen, and what shall be the sign of your coming?
Mm-hmm.
And people say, oh, that's the sign of his coming in the rapture. No, this is the sign of his coming into power at the time.
Right.
That's what they were asking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And most people don't realize that.
I didn't either.
It's the parousia. Mm-hmm. So what's you can better translate, basically your presence. What's going to be the sign of you taking and being in the presence and the end of the age?
Mm-hmm.
King James says as the end of the world, but again, it's a mistranslation because of their interpretations. He said the end of the age.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's aeon. So in other words, they're like, okay, here we are. Here's our mindset. You're going to come and you're going to be the reigning king. They're talking about the temple. Look at the temple. Isn't it marvelous? When are you going to take over in the temple? And when is it going to be the end of this age? Because they thought the new age of him ruling and reigning was going
to
come.
Right.
That's precisely what they're saying here.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, Jesus, like, not yet. because he just had the chicken event just before this.
Right.
So
that's
basically where they were at. They thought he was going to reign at that time. They did not expect him to be this suffering servant.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, they dismissed it. And that's why they changed the calendar. Okay, so now the Judaic calendar that we have today is way off because they, forget who it was, one of the sage rabbis said, oh, well, he didn't come, and it was like sadness, so that they must have got the dates wrong in Daniel. So they changed the calendar to try and match the dates, and then so everything's all messed up. The whole system is all messed up. Now, hopefully they'll come to their senses and read Isaiah and say, you know what? Let's check our system and make sure we're not doing something wrong here.
Yeah. Well, one thing that has always bugged me, I guess, and you being the Bible scholar, I'm going to let you figure this one out. But isn't it true that the disciples pretty much knew the Tanakh or the Torah?
Yep.
I said, I get that confused. But anyway,
big time.
Yeah, but they knew this stuff, right? So they
mm-hmm.
have read Isaiah 53.
The
disciples of Jesus have read Isaiah 53. So if they, I guess maybe they didn't pay attention to it. I can't say they didn't believe it, because if they didn't believe it, then they, that would make no sense. But why couldn't they put it together? Were they blinded too, would be my question, as to having read Isaiah 53 and then ignore it and say, that's not going to come true with him. He's here now and we're going to take over. I mean, explain that as best you can, and I understand that you may not have a perfect answer for it, but what do you think?
Well, Yeah, it goes back to the same thing. I mean, we're all here. We are today. I, you know, specifically for the last 10 years. I've heard every single year, and every single Jewish holiday for the last 10 years was going to be the rapture.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Okay, like every last one, right ever since the Revelation 12 sign in the heavens, and then the four successive blood moons. Mm-hmm. We've just been looking. And people have to realize that signs aren't placed at the exit on the highway. They're placed before the exit,
right.
Or else you're going to miss it.
Correct.
It's a big sign that says, oh, by the way, the exit was there. You just missed it. No, mm-hmm. It's a mile ahead. It's 5 miles ahead. You know, hey, rapture, 5 miles ahead. Rapture, 2 miles ahead. Rapture,
right.
1 mile ahead.
Uh-huh.
That's what the signs are for. They're not for, hey, this is the day.
Mm-hmm.
But it's coming up. Now, once we do come up to it, all of a sudden, when your body changes and people come out of the grave, you're going to say, okay, I guess this is the exit.
Yeah, that's it.
But in the meantime, we misinterpret things.
Mm-hmm. Which is why God says don't interpret it. You know, just read it.
Right. Of your own interpretation.
Yeah, right.
And he does that on purpose as to, number one, now if I knew exactly what day it was, I could sin right up to the 20 minutes before he comes,
right? Exactly.
And then do a repentance dance.
Uh-huh.
That's not gonna work. And also then the devil would know, and he would be able to thwart things,
interfere.
That was so they did not see it back then, but they did see it afterwards, because if we look at it, even the early church fathers talked about it. So Justin Martyr talked about that, and Irenaeus, Origen. We'll get into a little bit of that if you want later. Let's finish up your stuff. But Tertullian talked about it. So they all realized right afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
they lived it. They lived
this
it.
This is what it they, meant, and the disciples missed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You've got to forgive them, really, because you have to understand that they've been around him now for 3 years, okay?
And they've seen him, taken over.
Yeah, they have seen him raise people from the dead. They've seen him feed a multitude with nothing, basically. They've seen him turn water into wine. They have seen him walk on water. They, all these different things that they have seen for themselves. So you kind of excuse them for thinking, okay, we're at Jerusalem. There's the temple. He's God. Here we go. I can see how they fell for it, or not mm-hmm. fell for it, mm-hmm. but, how they pushed that information from Isaiah out of the way.
I think they just didn't really see it, or maybe they thought, he was, made fun of and persecuted while he was here.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they just didn't realize the extent of it.
Yeah, but that's a good point. That is a good point, because, what is it, that you can never go home? You've heard that. And when he went back to, was it Bethlehem or Nazareth? I can't remember. But they rejected him,
So the prophet's not welcome in his own town.
Right, yeah. So, I can see where they're coming from. I really can. But still, it just always amazed me that they knew the scripture and were surprised by the answer, didn't put it together. Even after all that, they still didn't put it together. And, when he was arrested, they ran like rabbits in every conceivable direction, right?
They're like, what's going on? Hey, I have a question, though. This is one I don't know. Is so the two fish and the five loaves.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that wasn't like fresh fish, because that like get all nasty out in the sun. It must have been like dried fish.
Cooked already, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, and then was that like a flatbread, or I wonder was like a loaf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm wondering.
Because
he broke it into pieces. Because the loaves we have today in America are just garbage compared to the good food that they had back then.
Yeah. Was it the same kind of bread that, it didn't say it was, but like when Moses left, what is that bread called? I can't remember.
Oh, the manna?
Huh?
No. Not the manna.
No, the
the showbread.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder if it was like that, or if it was, you know, I don't know. It doesn't say. Bible doesn't say.
It would have to be dried fish, you know, like fish jerky.
It would have to be, yeah, something like that, or either, you know, it was cooked earlier, maybe. Well, we're getting into supposition now. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Well, like I said, the question that's on my list now.
Yeah, it definitely is on the list, because, you know, I had the same thing too. But you also have to remember that one of the delicacies right now is raw fish. Or what is that called? Sushi? I think.
Yeah.
Isn't that raw fish?
Yeah, essentially. Yeah. But that's why you'd have to have some ginger and some wasabi.
Okay, see, I don't know any of that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The wasabi is like, it's that heavy duty horseradish kind of stuff.
Yeah,
green, and like it'll melt your sinuses.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
But they do that because that kills the germs of the fresh fish. There's parasites and stuff if you have fresh fish. So the wasabi will actually kill off any, you know, nasties in there. That's why they have wasabi with sushi. And then the ginger cleanses your palate so you can taste the next one.
Well, I got one last question for you before we get out of here on the first half, and that is, you were talking about Daniel earlier. Does Daniel point to Isaiah 53? Because I'm not familiar with that particular scripture in Daniel. Or does Isaiah 53 point to Daniel? Or point, you know, is you said it's nowhere both. So I'm trying to figure out exactly where the correlation is.
Basically, he points to the triumphant entry when he came in, riding on the foal. And then they would declare him, you know, the king. They got the Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna.
Yeah, they threw all the palm leaves and all that. Yeah,
okay. Yeah, and then they, you know, true to form, then they turn around and crucify him the next week. That's people for you. And I think a lot of the church is going to be like that. All of a sudden, you know, they're crying Hosanna this week, but then all of a sudden the rapture comes. Like, oh, wait, we don't believe in the rapture. Uh-huh. So that can't be Jesus. And we got some problems.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a lot less than a lot of people think. The road's narrow, bro.
I think there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be surprised. You know, I'm wondering how many of the people are going to realize that they did miss it. You know, because there's going to be some. I guarantee you there's going to be some, and those may turn out to be, you know, witnesses for those that are left. I don't know.
All the beheaded ones in Revelation. Yeah,
we'll just have to wait and see. Anyway, in the second half of the show, we're going to get into, again, how the cross was foretold. And then, of course, we will also get into the fact that we are justified through the blood of Jesus Christ. So we'll be talking about all that in the second half. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to deepen your walk with Jesus? Join Norman Smith on Run with Horses, the weekly radio show dedicated to helping you follow Jesus well. In Jeremiah 12:5, God challenges us to pick up the pace and prepare to run with horses. Jesus calls us to take up our cross and follow him. The journey is tough, but always worth it. Tune in every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net for an all-new edition of Run with Horses. Explore topics like biblical discipleship, healthy marriage, and building a godly family. Don't miss Run with Horses every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central, right here on KRRB, revelationradio.net. For more information or to listen to past broadcasts, be sure to visit runwithhorses.net.
Break free from fear, pain, and spiritual confusion. Step into total freedom with Rena Lynn, author, speaker, and host of the bold new radio show airing Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net. Rena Lynn brings you real talk on real issues, narcissistic abuse, spiritual warfare, and the emotional battles we all face. With biblical insight and raw honesty, she helps you confront darkness and step into healing. Explore her gripping preparation for the End book series, including the latest release, Intriguing Truth, a powerful journey of faith, trauma, and redemption. Dive into her books, sign up for the newsletter, and discover upcoming challenges designed to help you walk the walk, take spiritual authority, and find your ministry. Join the movement. Find your voice. Experience total freedom with Rena Lynn. Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net.
KRRB Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Are you looking for a meaningful way to support Christian values in a world that's turning further from truth? The Last Christian Radio Show is 100% listener supported. Every broadcast, every platform, every message, we rely on you to keep the mission going. You can donate directly at lastchristian.net. Every gift matters, no matter the size. Or, here's the best part. You can help just by purchasing the everyday products you already use from our trusted partners. The Conservative Store, Everyday Dose Coffee, Prima Ancestral Protein Bars, and Christian Book, each offering quality products you'll love. And every purchase through our links helps fuel this ministry. Visit lastchristian.net today to stand with us, pray with us, and support the mission.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in Texas, and that's Mr. David Paxton there on the left-hand side of your screen, coming to us from New York. David, we're going to go ahead and move on here real quick with the cross foretold. He was wounded for our transgressions, okay? That's according to Isaiah 53:5. He said, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Now, this passage cannot be dismissed. Again, if you guys are in the Jewish faith, please go to Isaiah 53 and read it. It's, you know, it's right there for you. Just read it and you will find out. Now, John 19:34 in the New Testament now, Jesus is literally pierced by a Roman spear. In Luke 22:63-65, he is bruised and beaten. And then in 1 Peter 2:24, Peter declares, by his wounds you have been healed. Isaiah says he was led like a lamb to slaughter, and he did not open his mouth. Then in Matthew 27:12-14, he offers no defense before Pilate. Acts 8:32-35, the Ethiopian Enoch reads this exact passage, and Philip explains, this is Jesus. The substitutory atonement is unmistakable. He died in our place, he bore our sins, he suffered our punishment, and the gospel writers made sure we see it with every detail fulfilled. Now, there's a lot there, David. I'll let you comment on it because, again, you're the Bible scholar. But, you know, this is confirmation of something. What did I say before? Like seven centuries before or something like that?
Yep. It's a little bit before. Mm-hmm. Now, I've been doing a study on quantum physics. Yeah. And apparently they're discovering ways, whereas if they measure light and lasers and point them in the right direction, that the effect of one laser will change what happened to the other laser that was previous to that, because they sent it around and came back. So it was like this split second later. You can change history. And it's that's weird. It's something you do now can change history.
That's crazy.
But if it's Almighty God and he's outside the time-space continuum to do that, that's just a glimpse into how all that works. It's really interesting. So that's how we can know the end from the beginning. Mm-hmm. But therein, to say all that, there is quantum physics in the Bible, and it's proven by this. Because who else can tell history thousands of years before it happened?
There you go.
There's only one. And that would be someone who's outside the time-space continuum, a la God, okay? Mm-hmm. Not a la God. Excuse me. Maybe I should fix that. Like, that was French, by the way. Like, such as God. Okay, that's better. Right. So it proves it. So if there's anything definitive, if you're too blind to see that everything was designed in the universe and everything was specifically fine-tuned in the universe for life to exist, at least look at the fact that there's only one person who can, you know, accurately tell history thousands of years in advance, and that's the one who basically wrote it. So it's just another layer of proof that the Bible is true. It's mm-hmm. the only book that's true, and the other books are nonsense. Mm-hmm. And that you probably should do what it says.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, without a doubt. Well, you know, one thing, I've heard this a couple of times. Doesn't happen often, but I've always got a great comeback. I'll listen to what you got to say. But there are people that said, yeah, okay, well, you know, the Old Testament said he was going to come in ride through the Eastern Gate and all that stuff, right? Okay, mm-hmm. well, so Jesus read that too. You know, he read that too. So that means that all he was doing was reading it and then going in and doing it to make it look like it was fulfilled. And I said, mm-hmm. okay. All right, well, then explain all the other ones. Mm-hmm. You know, because that's not the only thing that he fulfilled. He fulfilled a heck of a lot when he was here, right, David?
Well, here's the thing. He not only fulfilled that, but he could not have chosen the time he was born. Mm-mm. He couldn't choose his parents.
Right.
He couldn't choose what they would do to him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because that's someone else's decision.
Right.
And it's just on and on. But there's so many. There's hundreds of them.
Right.
And I think 333. Anyway, we're going to do that. But when you look at the odds, I mean, even if the odds are just 10 to 1, mm-hmm. by the time you get over 300 of them, 10 to 1 is, you know, it's quite a bit because it's like 10 times 10 times 10 times uh-huh. 10 times 10.
Yeah.
You know, 300 times.
Yeah.
So that's basically a one with 300 zeros after it as a chance.
It's kind of like a current DNA test, right? I mean, you know, they get it down to one in, 500 million or whatever it is. I don't know what the counts are, but, you know, a one in that figure. That's about the same as what Jesus did when he fulfilled the Old Testament. It's remarkable. I mean, there's no other way to say it. It's just totally remarkable.
And the cool part about it is there's, I believe, 8 times as many prophecies of his second coming. Mm. So that's going to be highly definitive. So
get ready for it. Yeah. Yeah.
If he fulfilled the first batch, mm-hmm. rest assured he's going to fulfill the second batch exactly the way he says.
I watched a YouTube video a day or two ago. And what drew me into it was the ad, you know, the thumbnail photo or whatever you want to call it, that mm-hmm. it was a Muslim imam mm-hmm. who had, you know, he was very well known. I wish I could recall his name right now, but I can't. But he was very well known, and he had helped people convert to Islam. He had counseled, you know, hundreds is what it said, hundreds of people. Given all of these sermons, you know, he was a good Muslim, okay? And he died. but he didn't die. He died, but he was only, you know, he was dead for like 6 minutes, I think they said. 4 minutes, 6 minutes, something like that. Anyway, according to his testimony, he arrived in hell. And there was only one light that came out of there, which was Jesus. And anyway, I'm going to try and find this to where I can put it on our site or something. But
that'll be fun.
Yeah. But anyway, he came back, and he said he kept it quiet. He even tried to go back and pray the prayers again, the Islamic prayers. He couldn't do it. But there was there was people that he saw in hell that he knew, and he said, you know, these they were, you know, why are we here and all this kind of stuff, you know. And he converted to Christianity, and his wife slapped him, you know, and said that he was, you know, possessed or something, you know. He lost a lot of his friends and all this kind of stuff, you know. But the point was, is that he got saved. He was saved, and he now preaches Jesus Christ. So, you know, for those of you that believe in this, you know, near-death experiences, and I've got no personal experience in it, so I can't tell if it's real or not. But, you know, according to many people who have had this afterlife experience, I'm not so keen on those that come back and say that they were from heaven, because, you know, I don't know about all that. But I can see Jesus pulling him down there for a second and saying, hey, you know, straighten your butt up and get it back up there, boy. I mean, that's...
Yeah, there's a number of testimonies like that as well. And some of them you could see are fabricated, and but we're going to expect that. Mm-hmm. Because if it's real, then Satan's going to make a counterfeit. But you can't just throw them all out because he made a counterfeit. That's like, hey, you better throw away all your money because someone's printing fake money somewhere. So throw yours out. It just doesn't make any sense. So what you do is you have to really look at it and examine it and decipher which is the real one and which is the fake one. Just like you would your money. You look at the dollar bill and, oh, well, not a dollar. They wouldn't fake that. Look at the $100 bill and see if in fact it's real or fake.
Well, the reason
I think the biggest thing here actually in New York was a while, it was the $5 bills, because no one checks them. So what they would do is print up tons and tons of $5 bills, and then they'd go into the bodegas, the little delis and stuff, and they'd buy the $1 lottery ticket and they'd get four singles back. So now they got a lottery ticket and four real dollars for their fake five. And they would just do that all day long and just all walk day. Down the street and do it. And they finally caught up with them. But that's the idea. That's what Satan tries to do with these experiences that people have, is make a bunch of fake ones to try and get people to discredit the real ones.
Yeah. Well, yeah. When I was watching this, I was saying, okay, well, this guy's got it made. I mean, you know, he's living his good life. You know, he's a good Muslim, and he's living his good life. And when he turned on them, now he's living a bad life. So, you know, if he didn't truly believe it, he would have gone back to saying the Islamic prayers. He would have gone back to being the imam that he was before, you know. But he threw all that away and put his faith in Jesus Christ. And that's pretty
cool. Matter of fact, that would have been better for him if he went back and said, oh, you know, I was delusional for a while. I drank too much whiskey or something. But now I'm back. Then he would have been even more better, because then they would all be like, oh, yes. Oh, he's looking at his comeback. We told you it was the truth. So here's the deal. All the disciples did the thing. They killed all of them.
Every one of them.
And the rumor is that they boiled John in oil, but that God kept him alive so he could write Revelation. And but all the rest, like, if they really didn't know that he was the Son of God, do you think all of them would have been put to death? And do you really think they would have put in there that women, you know, saw him, and that a lot of these testimonies are from women? They wouldn't do that.
Yeah,
because like, oh, women, they don't have any testimony, but they wrote the truth.
All right, so now, I can't remember
thing with David. Isaiah. They didn't want to believe it here. Isaiah,
I can't 53. Remember. Did I show this slide already? I don't think I have I?
Cut off from the land of living. It's a beautiful slide, though. I must say.
Well, that's Isaiah 53:8-9. It says he was cut off from the land of the living. They made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death. And we see that in the New Testament, Matthew 27:57-60, where Jesus dies alongside criminals, yet is buried in the rich man's tomb. That's Joseph of, what is that?
Arimathea.
Okay. And then Acts 2:27.
Which was probably his uncle, by the way.
Oh, you think? Okay. I wasn't sure about that one.
Not dogmatic about it, but they think it was his uncle.
Okay. And then Acts 2:27, Peter declared Jesus did not remain in the grave. Isaiah, let's see here, Isaiah 53:10, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days. That's the resurrection, the life, and the legacy. That's Luke 24. He walks with his disciples after death. John 20, he appears to Mary and the apostles. Revelation 1:18, I was dead and now I live forevermore. So the suffering servant dies, but he doesn't stay dead. He rises and He reigns. And
amen.
And we're looking forward to the part that says there that he returns. That's what we're primarily interested in. But
that's the fun part.
Yeah. But anyway, I mean, that's, again, it's more fulfillment, right? I mean, that goes all the way back to Genesis, really.
Yeah. And then think of that. Oh, yeah. Let me orchestrate my own death next to wicked people and then have some rich guy give me his grave. And it was Joseph. He had just built this grave, too. Mm. And then, you know, so all his buddies were out there and they're like, Joseph, you just made this grave and now you're going to give it to Jesus. And
so Joseph says, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but Joseph looks at him and says, oy vey, it's just for the weekend.
Yeah, but it was never used again.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah, it was never used again, though, David. He didn't. Get to use that one. He had to find something else. Yeah.
All right.
All right. Well, now this is where it really gets good. Okay. We're justified by His blood, and the gospel still stands. So that's Isaiah 53:11. By His knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. Now that's justification, the very heart of Paul's gospel. Romans 5:9, we are justified by his blood. And 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin became sin for us. And that's a big one right there. We'll let you expand on that in a minute. Isaiah's vision closes with triumph. He will divide the spoil with the strong because he poured out his soul unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. And then finishing this part off, that came from Luke 22:37. It fulfilled precisely. And Jesus quoted it himself. So this isn't a coincidence. It's not forced interpretation. It is prophecy fulfilled in one person, Jesus Christ, the suffering servant, the risen Savior, and the coming King. He didn't just fulfill Isaiah 53. He embodies it from beginning to end. And I'll comment on that however you want to there, David.
He became sin for us. We're ambassadors for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's kind of at the end of that passage. So let's back up a little bit in 5:19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So in other words, your sins, your trespasses, were not imputed to you. But then now that we are ambassadors for Christ, and think about that. Now that's our role.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all things have become new, and now we have the ministry of reconciliation. That means our job is to go and get other people into the kingdom.
Right.
If we're an ambassador, we have an embassy, okay? And an embassy is taken care of by the kingdom, okay? Well, how is it taken care of? He says, well, he was made sin for us.
For us.
And he didn't know any sin. So all this is the legal language. It basically says you had a contract. You mess it up. It's called sin. All right. God told you, take care of all this stuff and then don't eat that. Okay. So Jesus said, well, now I will come and I will pay for that. So, but he would have to be sinless or else he would only be paying for his own sin.
Right.
So him who knew no sin and being Almighty God simultaneously to be infinite enough to pay for everybody's sin said, I will take their contract. He became sin for us in order that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Yeah.
So now this is our righteousness. And that's what Isaiah is describing. How does all that work? Well, he's going to be wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement is going to be upon him. He's going to be buried over here. Mm-hmm. He's going to be, you know, crucified with these wicked people. This is how it's all going to play out in order that we might be made righteousness. Yeah. So when I look at you and your beautiful hat, I say, oh, there's a righteous man. He's got the righteousness of Christ because he's an ambassador for Christ.
Amen. Amen. Okay? I'm proud of that. Now, I'm proud of that. Go ahead.
Yeah. So we have that in contract. Now, it's not consummated yet. Okay. But we own it because we have it. Okay. So when we walk into, and at one point in time, okay, now is the time. It's just like you have a marriage contract. You're not married yet. You're not married yet. But that day I do. Okay. Now you're married. It's the same thing. It's the promise of it. So we are the righteousness of God made in his promise. And that, that moment, that a twinkling of an eye, that we're changed from corruptible to incorruptible, is when that will consummate that contract.
Yeah. Well, you know, speaking of that, I'm on Telegram. You know, I try to put our stuff on Telegram. I don't know if anybody looks at it or not, but anyway, because it's a pretty new. But there's a group on there that I follow, which is something like Rapture Now, or, you know, waiting for the rapture or something like that. And I've been tempted several times to post something there. I never have yet. And, you know, because every one of them so far has been, you know, at when this rapture happens, we're gone. Boom. We're out of here. Okay. And I'm not really sure how to word it in such a way that people will pay attention to it when I, you know, if I was to tell them, well, you know, have you ever considered the fact that the Bible doesn't really say we disappear right then. It says that we're changed right then. And because I know I'm going to get blowback on that, David. You know that too, right? There's going to be blowback. And, you know, I'm not there to try to make anybody mad or, you know, cause a problem.
Just
or
post the scripture
like that.
And say, here you go.
But yeah, I just don't know how that's going to come across. You know, I don't want to start a major argument, but because I had the same idea before, you know, me and you started doing a show, and you explained it really well that, you know, that there is a time difference between the dead being raised and the people that are alive being changed. I mean, I think that's simultaneous, right? The changing.
Yeah, the entire body, the entire body at the same instant will be changed from corruptible to incorruptible. So it just stands to reason that there'll be a handful of us that are alive at that instant.
So you know, but you can't. It doesn't say that we disappear. It doesn't say that. It says that, that
it never says we disappear.
Yeah, that we're in, we're changed, and then I go back to Jesus himself ascending to heaven. Everybody saw him go up. It's not like he just popped up into clouds. He didn't do that. He rose into the clouds, and they said he comes back the same way. So, you know, that kind of tends to make me think that the same thing happens to Christians. Now, does that happen 1 second later? Possibly. Does that happen 10 minutes later? Possibly. Does that happen 40 days later? Possibly. We just don't know, right?
We do not know. but Jesus did walk around for a while. Yes, and they asked him, they had a clear question in Acts chapter 1 when he rose up. They're like, because remember in Matthew 24, we just talked about, hey, so are you going to take over now? Look at the temple. It's great. And it's like, slow down, mister. but now, he said, now all this stuff happened, so he comes back, and they still didn't get it.
Right.
They're like, okay, now are you going to take over the rule of Israel? It's like, you people. All right, it's not for you to know, but we got some stuff to do. And then he goes, and then he's going there. And then the two shiny men, which I I surmise is Moses and Elijah, because they were there just a little while ago on the Mount of Transfiguration. Maybe they're still hanging out. And they said, why stand ye here gazing, O men of Galilee? He'll come back the same way. So if they're standing there gazing at him, that means the world's going to be gazing at us when we go up to meet him in the air when he comes back. And just like Isaac and Rebecca, you see him, you see Isaac coming in the distance, and the church, Rebecca saw him and then went out to meet him.
Right.
I think it's going to be the same thing. If we goes up and we see him, he's going to come back the same way. We're going to start to see him, and then all of a sudden we're going to go rise to meet him. And it'll be a little bit of time there, all right? Because we have to gloat, number one. I don't know if we're going to gloat.
I don't know. Yeah,
I feel like it.
I think it's going to be more you know, I told you so. I mean, I hate to be that blunt, but, you know, I told you so.
Yeah. And it will be, but in a loving way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't do anything stupid now. You know, you still got a chance.
Like right now, I'd be like, I'm going to smack you in the head kind of way, but I think we'll be changed. It'll be like in a loving way then.
Uh-huh. Yeah. All right. Let's look at this now. Just a final thought here. Now, you've heard the news. You've seen the scriptures. And now Jew and Gentile alike must decide. Will you believe the report, or will you reject the only one who was pierced for your transgressions? So we invite you to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because this is, without any doubt whatsoever, the most important decision. It's an eternal decision, so it's the most important decision that you will ever make. What do you think, David? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think we need to lay this out as well, okay? Paul talks about three groups of people. Guess who they are?
Okay, we got the Jews, we got the Christians, and the third one?
You got basically you got Jews, Gentiles, and the church.
Church, okay, all right, okay.
Okay, gotcha. That's it, the ecclesia, the called out ones.
Okay.
And that also lead, you know, it destroys replacement theology as well, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. the Jews were given dominion, and it was God's portion. So they were called out from all the other nations that are mm-hmm. around, the mm-hmm. Goyim, okay? Yeah. So that just stands to reason. They were called out ones. So you have the Jews, okay? And you have the Gentiles, people who aren't Jews.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have this new thing called the Ecclesia. And it's Ecclesia is a called out, the called out ones. And it specifically led to the governmental agency of a set of people who would set the rules for things, basically. Mm-hmm. So that would be the Ecclesia. That was the mindset at the time. So when Jesus was at the Cave of Pan, he said, I will build my Ecclesia,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then so you're going to build your own government? Yeah, basically. And then we said, oh, that's right, I'll build my church. And we go around cowering to the government today. No, we're supposed to be the government and influence all the governments of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So the called out ones, to be called out of that means you can be called out of being a Jew or called out of being a Gentile.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're part of the church, Jew or Gentile.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Then there's very.
Then you're saying, okay, now I'm with Jesus. This is the new government. You know, that John the Baptist was the greatest ever, but the least in the kingdom mm-hmm. is greater than he. So we have this new kingdom that's coming, and it's spoken about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. They're slightly different, but the same idea. And then,
would you mm-hmm. agree that it's harder to become a Christian if you are Jewish?
It just depends on your mentality, because once they see it, a Jew that becomes a Christian
mm-hmm.
is way more sold on it than.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say, you know, because like Amir, for instance, or we had
because they see how it fulfilled all the stuff they were taught their whole life.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, they're fully bought in.
they're
100%.
And you know, they're ostracized when they are too.
I was gonna say that's
a real decision.
Right. Right.
Whereas if you're just a Gentile, like, oh, you're a Christian now, maybe it'll be something else next month. Who knows?
All right, David, take us out of the show.
All right. So it's real simple. If you want to be called out, you just confess that you're a sinner and you broke all the terms and conditions of the original contract, and that Jesus has paid for that for you. He mm-hmm. came down as God and then became a man in order to pay off your debt. And then you can come and be in the rapture with us and rule and reign with Jesus forever. Mm-hmm. So, Lord willing, we'll see you guys on the next show. If not, make sure you have received him beforehand. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Last Christian Radio Show, where biblical truth meets headline reality and prophecy is never fiction. We're on the air every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday night at 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central. Boldly proclaiming the gospel and warning a world on the brink. But we can't do it alone. Your support makes the mission possible to speak the truth, reach the lost, and prepare the world for the return of Jesus Christ. Visit lastchristian.net and help us continue broadcasting the unfiltered, uncensored truth to the nations. Whether it's a one-time gift or by shopping through our trusted partners, every action you take fuels the message. So stay informed, stay bold, And above all, stay ready, because the trumpet could sound at any moment. Until next time, good night and God bless.